Amen. Well, good morning, everyone.
Hello, hello, and great to see you. Welcome, particularly if you're guests and you're visiting with us today. We love to have friends with us, and your friends, more than friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're part of the same body, and so we welcome you. We love having you here with us. I have one other announcement, which I kind of promised I would make, which is Lynn Alexander and the folks from Family Tree on the south side of the city are doing an outreach. It's going to be on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be in Locke's Bar, and I think it's Pollock Shields. Aye, okay. So it's a Light and Life event. So basically, they're looking for people who are willing to pray for the sick, and to prophesy, and to, you know, just share, just to pray, basically. So if you're willing to do some outreach and you want to be involved in that, come and talk to me afterwards. I have the information, and I will pass it on to you. So that's something that would be great. Isn't it good when we can work together with other folks in other parts of the city? We're not one church. We are the church. We are part of the whole of the body of Christ, not only here in Whiteinch, not only in Whiteinch or in Glasgow, but also in Scotland and to the ends of the earth. And so, you know, the fact that these guys are heading off is just a part of the fact that we are part of this incredible family who are all over the world. And we love that. Absolutely incredible. There was an outreach that happened in Rakese. Some of you were part of that. And I just want to tell you one story from that. There's a lady there. I don't know if you've heard the story, but I'll tell you anyway because I'm excited by what God has done. There's a lady that came and she had a heart attack 5 years ago, and so as a result of that, for the last 5 years, she has woken herself up every night after every hour or hour and a half. She wakes herself up because she has dread that she will not wake up if she doesn't wake herself up. And so as a result of that, for the last 5 years, this lady has not slept properly. She came to the event that we had in Rakese, which was a couple of weeks ago, and we prayed for her. A number of us prayed for her, and we just left her get on with it. She was fine. It was a good experience. She left. We heard the next day that she had slept the whole night and had to be woken up by her alarm. First time in five years that had happened, and she not only was so excited by that, she is a kinship carer, looks after her grandchildren, had to take her grandchildren to school the next morning. So they all had to rush, which they never have to do because she's always up. They all had to rush, apparently, got to school, got the kids in just in time. And she spent the whole of the time around the school gates saying, "See these guys up at the church, they prayed for me. I haven't slept for the last 5 years. Now I slept, I can't believe it, it's absolutely amazing." And I met her again, when was it in there? Wednesday. And she was saying, I'm still sleeping, Alan. I'm still sleeping. How did that happen, you know? And the answer is, how did that happen? The answer is that God loves her. God loves her so much that he is willing to break into her situation and to send some crazy folk from Whiteinch over to join the really crazy folk in Rakese, to pray for the folks and to ask that this woman who, and I don't even know if she asked for that. Did she ask specifically about the prayer, the sleeping thing? No, she didn't ask us for that either. So we weren't even praying specifically for it. And you know, we're talking today about the whole thing of how we can pray in the Spirit. And you know, we didn't pray what it was that she actually needed, but God, through his Holy Spirit, translates our prayers. And actually, when it left our lips and it landed in the very ears of God, he heard exactly the right thing. He knew exactly what was required. And so as a result of that, he released the thing that she needed more than anything else, which was that she would actually just sleep, that the dread would go and she would sleep. Isn't that an amazing thing? And the thing is, I don't know about you, but there are many, many people that I know who need that kind of impact from God, who need the power of God released in their life. Because actually, the answers of the doctors, although the doctors are important, we love doctors. How many doctors are in today? I don't know. Anyway, we love the doctors, and we love the medics, and we love the social workers, and we love all the people that do all sorts of things to help people. And that's really important because God does both. He uses all of these things to bring his purposes around. But there are times when actually what we need is we need God to break through in supernatural power, to do things actually we can't do. And we cannot do that on our own. We cannot do that in our own strength. We have to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today, as we think, we continue to think about the theme of building the house of prayer and worship, which is us. We are the house of prayer and worship, and we together form this amazing kind of calling to connect with God through prayer and worship, and to pour out our hearts to him and to allow him to pour out his goodness into us. And that actually, you know, what we need is we need to have the Holy Spirit on this day, Pentecost Sunday. This is the day that we ask again, God, would you please move in our lives to fill us and to help us to do the things that we can't do. Help us to pray when we don't know what to say. Help us to pray boldly when we feel as though we really are feeling that, oh my goodness, I can't cope with this and I don't know what to say. And you know, and actually, and the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us and fills us and strengthens us. And that's what he's going to do today. So today, we're expecting a new filling of the Holy Spirit, a new release of his gifts to be able to do the things that God is calling us to do. So I'm excited about all of that. So today, we want to think about praying with the Holy Spirit. And the question is how can we go deeper, how can we go further into prayer and worship as we think about this thing of building a house of prayer and worship? The Holy Spirit empowers us and gifts us the ability to pray and to worship. And today, as we come, as I say, to Pentecost, we're asking that God would do that. So what does the scripture say? There's numbers of scriptures. They're all going to come up in the PowerPoint behind me. So first one is Ephesians 6:18 says this, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert," because God needs alerts, "and always keep on praying," sorry, "for all the people of God," the Lord's people. So, sorry, I just can't help myself. When I read that, it's such a stupid verse. It's a wonderful verse. Sorry, I don't mean that either. This is all being recorded, of course. The Bible is not stupid. That's my fault. I didn't mean it that way. What I mean was, it's just funny. There's funny parts in the Bible, and this is a funny part in the Bible, isn't it? When it sort of says, be alert, as in, and never mind, okay. If you don't understand, just move on, okay? I can see the number of you, Diane's going, no, please, just move on, I'll shut up. Okay, so there's this thing which is, you know, we need to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And there's loads and loads of situations where, you know, each one of us would actually sort of say, you know, that we need the help of the Holy Spirit to pray. We had an experience, I can't remember when it was. It must have been about 2 or 3 years ago. Actually, we were coming back from the airport on the motorway, and there was an accident on the motorway where two cars were racing each other before we got to. We were coming back from the airport, coming towards Brayhead, and it was a big, long straight bit outside Paisley, and they basically raced each other, and then one went away past, but the other one banged into the centre piece and then zoomed straight across and down the ditch, great big ditch. And so we were a bit further back, braked the car, stopped, pulled over. And to be honest with you, I was thinking, oh, my goodness, what's going on here? So I can't remember. Who was in the car? Anyway, it was the family that were in the car. And I remember being at an event where someone was talking about having been and seen a bus crash in Mexico or something like that. And they said, the only thing that you can do was to lay hands on them and just to say, you will not die, you will live. And I remember this at that moment, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Anyway, so I went down, and I went down the embankment, and I went to the car. All of the two guys were had been thrown into the back seat. Obviously, their seatbelts, they hadn't had their seatbelts on, which was even worse, you know. So anyway, they were all over the place, on arms and legs, and you couldn't quite work out what was what. Anyway, I remember this thing that they said, which was the, you know, best prayer to pray at that point, you will not die, but you will live. I'm standing over them. I'm sticking my hands through the crash window. I thought, I can't get in there. I can't move them, because I thought I might actually break them if I move them, so I don't want to move them. So I just stuck my hand in the window, and I laid my hand on them, and I said, you will not die, you will live. It's a prayer. You know, it's a command, it's a word of command, but it's a prayer, and it's a prayer to God. And I was praying, I was sort of, and there's moments where we just need to pray in the Spirit, when in actual fact, we don't know what to do, and God gives us the ability to be able to sort of just to pray, to say something. And he dropped that into my head. The policeman, after we'd been interviewed, so they all came, the ambulances came, the police came, and we all sort of toddled off home. And then the police came and interviewed us. And the police said to us afterwards, "We don't think that they should be alive. We think that they should be dead. I don't know what happened with them." And I'm going, Interesting, isn't it? So we need to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And sometimes when we pray in the Spirit on all occasions, God gives us just the ability to be able to understand these things. So we don't know what to pray sometimes. And again, in Romans 8, it says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning," and you can hear that today, groaning, "which cannot be uttered. Now he has searched the hearts," "now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Holy Spirit helps. Isn't that great? I don't know whether or not you've come into a situation where you just think, "I do not know what I should be doing here, and I certainly don't know what to pray, and I actually am panicking a little bit." And that happened recently, actually. Pamela and I and one or two others, James, who's a guy that's here, married to Linda, a part of the kind of the recovery community, had double pneumonia. So it was about 6 months ago, was it? Maybe. Must have been more than that. Anyway, it was a year ago, maybe even. He double pneumonia so bad that they were really concerned that he wasn't going to survive it, and so they put him into a therapeutic coma, and he was over in the southern. And so we went across to pray for him, and again, it's one of those. I mean, I don't know if you've been in one of these kind of ICU situations. So there's lots of machines that go bing, and lots of wires, and lots of nurses looking very official, and lots of kind of like security codes that you kind of get into, and you have to kind of, "I really am a Church of Scotland minister. I really, really am. Let me in, please. I'm here to visit somebody. Let me pray for them." You know, all this nonsense. Anyway, got in eventually, and it's intimidating. I don't know if you've ever prayed at somebody's bedside that's been on a machine that's going bing. You know, it's intimidating, and you kind of go, "Don't really know what to pray." And the nurses weren't really helpful, to be honest. They kind of went, "He's over there. Just, you know, get on with it," and then basically get out, you know. And so in that situation, again, you find yourself in this situation that Paul talks about to the Romans, which is we don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit, you know, he takes our stuff, he takes our willingness to be there, to be honest, our willingness to lay our hands on the sick, and you know, the amazing thing about James was they said that they were putting him in this induced coma. They thought that it would take probably about 4 or 5 days, and he was out of the coma with his lungs working he was out of the coma within a couple of hours, and he was out of hospital within 3 or 4 days, and it was just bonkers, because God can take our somewhat feeble kind of, I mean, I have to say that Pamela was like, you know, she was like going for it in prayer. And I'm more kind of like gently laying my hand on him, going, "Oh God, help him," you know, this kind of thing. And you don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit teaches you, and he takes you, and the fact that you're willing, you know, sometimes it's just like, that's it, that's the groaning. The Holy Spirit translates into, this is actually what I should be praying for. And so it encourages us to step forward into a greater level of faithfulness, a greater level of determination. As we think about what it is to create that house of prayer and worship, then we want to make sure that we are full of the Holy Spirit as we do that. We can't do these things, and we can't do the things that God calls us to unless he is filling us. The other thing that happens when we pray in the Spirit is this, that we are built up in ourselves. So Jude 20 and 21 says this, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and in praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you into eternal life." Again, there are some situations that I've been in where I absolutely have been bricking it, I think would be the technical term. I remember going, when I was actually, The first time we went to Africa, we went in our harvest school, and then we went on a mission afterwards to Malawi. And the guys were sort of saying, yeah, it'll be fine. We're going to have this conference, and you're going to get to speak at it, and that'll be great. And we went to the first place, and there were about 60 or 70 people there. And I thought, okay, I can do that. That's fine. Okay, go. Let's pray. Let's do the thing. Anyway, that was fine. The guys sort of said, no. That was just the kind of the warm-up. We're going to go to the main conference now. Got to the main conference. There was a huge stage, a huge PA, and I'm kind of going, how many people are you expecting? And he said, oh, 4,000 or 5,000. And I'm like, oh, really? And I'm telling you, I started praying a lot at that point to build myself up in myself, because actually I was like, oh my goodness. And it was an incredible experience. God came and there was amazing things that happened. And but actually, before that happened, I'm at the back of the stage. I'm walking up and speaking in tongues and going, oh God, oh God, oh God. And mostly it's, oh God, oh God, oh God, is what I usually pray. Oh, how did you get into this? How did you get me into this, God? This is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. You know, this kind of stuff. That's what's going on in my head. So if that's what you think as well, don't think that's not normal. That's normal. You know, kind of, oh God, how on earth did I get into this? I shouldn't be here. And actually, he strengthens us. He builds us up in our inner being just by praying, and by praying in the Spirit. You know, we can do that. And it gives us courage to do things that we wouldn't think we'd be able to do. And it gives us the ability to be able to have boldness and to say things and to do things for the King that actually just in our own self we would not be doing, and we know that. So it builds ourselves up. We can do that as we pray. But also what it does is it tunes us in prayer and worship. And again, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, it says this, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? Well, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding." If we're going to pursue this prayer and worship house, then we need to actually recognize that the Spirit of God is given to us so that we can pray and sing in the Spirit, so that we can engage with Him, and so that we can sing as well, you know, so that we can worship and praise Him. And listen, this is the other thing that verse talks about. We're not talking about checking our brain out at the door. The reason why we talk about the gifts of the Spirit and singing in the Spirit is so that we can sing Spirit to Spirit. But what this also talks about is we also sing mind to mind. We also use our brains. It's not a case that actually this is some sort of, you know, sort of thing where you just kind of like, oh, never mind what you think. That's not what this is about. But for those of us in particular who are very cerebral, who are very much thinking rather than spirit kind of focused, what it also says is this: we need both. And if our focus is too head focused and we don't recognize that there's a whole layer of spiritual experience that we can have that allows us to access God and allows us to pray and to worship in a way that really helps us, if we don't understand that actually there's a spirit dimension to that, then actually we're not going to get all of the resources that God wants to give to us. And we don't need to do that. We know that this from this scripture is very clear, that in actual fact it's possible for us to have both of these things going on. We need to move in the Spirit, and we need to think and to talk and to articulate things clearly as well. And that's what Paul was telling the church in Corinth. So as we think about this thing about praying and singing in tongues, I want to just kind of clarify a very simple thing. There are two kinds of gifts of tongues that are referred to in the passage in 1 Corinthians, and both of them are beneficial to us. The first one is corporate tongues. That's tongues that need to be interpreted. And they're kind of like, they're a bit more like prophecy insofar as that they help us to connect with God, and then through interpretation, they help us to hear the word of God directly to us. And that's what we kind of see as we read the rest of that passage. If you read, we've obviously, for those of you who are visiting with us, you don't know this, but we've spent like a zillion months last year preaching through the whole of 1 Corinthians. So just if you don't know the answer, go back. The church sermons are all online. You can check them all. So if you need teaching around chapter 12, 13, and 14, well, 12 and 14 in particular, There's a lot of teaching in there that you can check if you need the background information. I'm kind of taking that as read because we've talked about it recently. So there are these two types of tongues. One is corporate needing interpretation, but one is personal, and it's a prayer language that God can offer to us that helps us both as we pray and as we sing, both as we connect with him and also as we sing. And when we sing collectively in the spirit, which we're going to do in just a few minutes, so you're going to get excited about that, that's good. I'm particularly happy about the fact that I woke up with no voice this morning, knowing that that's what we were going to do anyway. As we worship and as we pray together and we use these gifts, and they don't need to be interpreted because they are they're directed at God. You know, they're offered to God as part of our worship to him. So the question is, can I have the gift of tongues, please, Alan? Yes. Yes is the answer to that, yes. I think you should definitely ask and see. So this is what Luke says. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you who is a father, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, here are the things that we need to overcome if we're going to receive the gift of tongues. We need to overcome intellectual pride. That's probably the most significant thing that I know that I needed to deal with when I kind of began to kind of pursue the things of the Spirit. And it was really because of the fact that I'd been brought up in a very, you know, a very academic kind of background. My parents were both, one was a doctor, one was a minister. And, you know, I was encouraged, you know, that it's important that you understand all these things and you study these things and you think. And thinking and rationality, it's this rationality thing that was actually, you know, that there was a big part of how people think. And I just briefly want to sort of say, we are not against rationality, but God is more than your understanding. God understands more than you. There's a humility that is required in our walk with God. If we are going to pursue the things of God, we need to understand that God is God and we are not, and he knows more than us. And therefore, it is not surprising that he will do and think and say things which are further than our understanding. So our understanding is what we rationally can comprehend and believe and so on. But God is actually beyond that. Surely we understand that God is beyond that. And so we understand these things. We know these things to be true. And yet, because of our upbringing, certainly my upbringing, it was very difficult to humble myself enough to say, okay, I'm willing to have this strange gift, which seems to be irrational. It's not irrational. It's super rational. It's more than rational. It goes beyond our understanding. It's not irrational. And so, and part of it was not just simply about intellectual stuff, but it was about learning to allow God to be able to release something within me, and that sense of I need to control myself. You know, there was a kind of like a, you know, I can't actually do this, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to kind of like let go, basically, and let God move in me, spirit to spirit. And I actually needed to overcome those things, and perhaps today that's what you need to overcome. Maybe some of us are kind of going, what the heck is this? And how does it work? Well, we can see it in Scripture. But we've struggled with it ourselves because we think, you know, that's not really for me. And I just want to sort of say that's for everyone. Anyone can ask. So we need to overcome our intellectual pride. We need to overcome our need for control. We need to overcome our doubt. He won't give it to me. There's a real sort of Scottish kind of underlying thing there. You know, sort of like, I'm sure that they'll give it to somebody else, but they're definitely not going to give it to me. And that's the attitude that we have because we're brought up like that. But that's not what God's like. You know, God's not like that. Ask and it will be given. That's the promise that we have here. That's the promise of Scripture. You know, ask and you will get it. Ask and you will receive. Ask and, you know, and you will be able to experience these things. So we need to overcome our doubt. We need to overcome our fear. And the fear thing is, everybody else is going to get something really good, but I'm going to get something really horrible. That's basically what that passage is about. You know, if a father asks, you know, if one of your kids asks for a fish, which of you will give him a snake instead? What attitude underpins that kind of question? The attitude that sort of says, nothing good ever happens to me. Yeah, anyone believe that? Anyone's heard that? We've all heard that, haven't we? Nothing good's going to happen to me. Even if I ask, I'm going to get some stupid or something, I don't know. Everyone else is going to be blessed, but nobody else, but not me. And we need to recognize that actually that's a fear that we need to just say, God, I'm really sorry that I believe that. That's not true. You know, what it says here is very clear. You're a good father that gives good gifts to his children, and I believe that you'll give a good gift to me. So we need to overcome our fear because we believe the scriptures, but also our sense of unworthiness. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Here's the truth. Nobody does. Nobody does. Nobody. Not me. Not him. Not anybody else. Nobody does. Nobody deserves the gift of God. It is a gift of God. And God, because he's God, gives gifts. And they're good. And you don't deserve it. That's how gifts work. Ta-da! Pretty simple. But how quickly do we get that wrong? You know, we kind of go, oh, I don't know if I can ask. I don't know if I'm unworthy. I do not deserve this. Correct. You are. That's the point. God still wants to give you a gift, even though you don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. You know, all the stuff, reckless love, even though, you don't deserve it. It's not because you've earned it. It's not because you've done any of these things. He just wants to give it to you. He just wants to give it to you. Now the reality is that we can ask, but God is the giver of gifts, and God knows who to give the gift to and when to give the gift. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 30, it says, do all have the gift of healing? Do all have speaking tongues? Do all have the gift of interpretation? And the answer is obviously implied, no, not everyone does. But we can all ask. Now, why? Why should we do that? Because we want to connect with God in deeper ways. We want to build ourselves up. We want to actually flow in his gift. We want to be able to pray in a way where we don't know what to say, but he interprets our prayers and answers them anyway. That's what we're trying to do. And if we're interested in that, and if we want that, then now is the time to ask. Now is the time to ask. So what we're going to do is we are going to sing in the Spirit, and I'm going to start. And those of you who sing in the Spirit, I'm going to ask you please to help me, because I'm obviously somewhat hoarse this morning. But just gently, we don't need to go crazy, but just gently, we're going to sing. And what's going to happen is, if you've never received the gift of tongues, then I'm going to encourage you, just very simply, what happens is this. I'm going to pray for a release of the gift of tongues, the ability to be able to do that. And as we sing, just whatever you get, you might find that it's just a few words, and your brain will be going, that doesn't make any sense. But that's correct, okay? And just begin to sort of say those, just gently whisper them. The key to the thing is breaking the sound barrier, okay? The key to the thing is breaking the sound barrier. So actually, it's just a really simple thing. So just, just allow yourself just to kind of focus. Now, what to do? Don't focus on anyone that's singing. Don't focus on anyone else. Focus on, if you can imagine the throne of heaven and God sitting on the throne and I'm drawing you closer and calling you closer, okay? So that's basically what you should be thinking about as we do this. I'm going to ask everyone to stand up. You don't need to do it if it's something that you, if you don't want to do, not the standing up, but everyone's going to stand up. So if you can stand up, please would you stand up? If you don't want to sing in the Spirit, that's absolutely fine. If you don't know how to do it, that's absolutely fine. But let's not shy away from this. Sometimes you need to be bold to ask. You need to be bold to press in. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And so we're going to do that. And then in a few minutes, I'm just going to ask you to come forward. We're going to pray for different things as well. Okay, so let's pray. Let's just worship the Lord. Yeah.